Welcome to Gaming and Gabbing, where video and tabletop gamers unite.
A podcast where we level up with you on our journey to ultimate nerddom. I'm your Wizard of Weird, Dayanne Hutton.
And I'm your Rogue of Realness, Amber Plaster.
And let's hit start. Welcome back, baby barbarians. Do we have an exciting guest for you? We have none other than Shelby Heather of House Young, first of her name, mother of cats, wearer of masks, lover of all things nerdy, and voices of many. Please welcome Shelby Young.
What an intro. Hello.
Unabashedly stolen from Shelby's very own Instagram.
This is
Shelby,
true.
Shelby, we're so excited to have you here.
I'm so excited to be here. Thank you so much.
So for those of you listening, we are IRL friends with Shelby, and you might have seen her around the internet. She provides the most nonsensical yet brilliant content I have seen on the internet. She is a TikTok star. She is an actor both on screen and for voiceover, and I guarantee you have seen or heard her in something you love.
Thank you. Yeah, my content, that is a very good way to put it, nonsensical, because it really, I decide right before I'm filming what I'm going to be filming. So sometimes it makes sense, but most of the time it's just me saying a weird quote in a Siri voice.
Yes, that is, you have become.
Can we talk about the new voice of Siri, aka Shelby Young?
Yeah. Yeah. The new, it like exploded you on TikTok, you being this Siri sound-alike-ish type AI.
It was so funny. It started just because I do something called looping. So for anybody listening, it's background voices in movies and film where basically if there's a scene in a mall, let's say, and the main actors are having a conversation, all of the background actors can't talk on set. Otherwise, you wouldn't be able to hear the main dialogue, which is usually what's most important in a scene. So a group of us loopers will go in and then we'll do, we'll fill in what those actors might have been saying. But sometimes we'll also do PA announcements or in this case, they needed a smart assistant for a phone. And so a couple of us tried it out and I didn't even know I could do this voice. And then I tried it on the day and I was like, whoa, I can do this voice. And literally as soon as I wrapped, I went home and started making TikTok videos doing that voice and people seemed to like it.
Heck yeah.
People love it.
Yeah.
And can I just say, since you started doing this, I've gotten 2 auditions for an AI for voiceover. And every time I'm just like, I mean, nowhere near as good as Shelby. Like, Shelby just needs to be hired for this.
Because she didn't know she could do the voice either until she did it.
Exactly. And every AI sounds
different. We can all be female robots. Listen.
Right? Some are British. Some are more like Hal from 2001. Mm-hmm. Some are more like, you never know. You never know. There's room for all of us to be AI.
It's true. I just need you to know. You're like always in my head is like, be this good.
Thank you, Dayanne. You are very sweet.
It sounds like you go backwards. Like it sounds like you almost eat your words when you eat the. It's like so specific.
Yeah. It's the speech pattern, I feel like, is what's even more important than the voice itself. Because for the voice, I just kind of deepen my voice slightly, and I feel like I breathe out a little more air when I do it. But even if I was doing that but talking normally, it wouldn't sound like much. Until then, all of a sudden, you have to say it in a way that a robot would. So then it becomes, so much about...
It sounds like the old navigation systems you put in your car. Like, before phones could do it.
Totally.
That's what it sounds like to me. I love it so much. Oh, my God. Okay, so this isn't even, like, TikTok fame aside. Like, that's not your main gig. You are an actor.
Yes.
Okay, I freaked out when I found out about this one in particular. You were in the first season of American Horror Story.
I twas. It was very fun and spooky and really awesome.
Yeah, so you remind me your character's name.
Yes, I played Leah. So I am, in the first episode, the pilot episode, I am a total bitch. I really hate the main character, Violet Harmon, the one that Thaisa Farmiga played amazingly. She moves to my town, and I'm the resident mean girl at the school, and you know, I get into a fight with her and it's all over a cigarette. Typical teenage drama, you know? but then it just so happens she lives in this murder house and she, right. for her revenge, lures me to the basement where she doesn't realize this is going to happen, but I get attacked by a demon child and get my face slashed up. And then I become a Bible thumper of sorts for the next couple episodes I'm in.
Yes, I remember that's the only season I've ever watched, so it's like it's very impactful for me. So when I found that, I was like, wait, what? That's so cool.
It was one of my favorite projects to this day I've ever worked on. It was such a cool set. We actually got to film in the real murder house. Not that it's a real murder house, but
oh,
the house
it is now
very,
a real murder house.
Right, now it is. But
I've taken a picture in front of it.
Oh, that's so cool.
It's used in an episode, one of my favorite episodes of Buffy.
Oh, no way.
And so, yeah. So I went and found it in LA like years ago and took a picture in front of it.
That's awesome. Yeah. It was really spooky inside. So acting scared in that basement, it wasn't all acting.
Yeah, I bet.
Moving on from thing to thing, just because there's so much here to talk about. So voiceover.
Yes.
You do it all the time. You've already explained about looping. But you've been in video games, movies, TV shows. The most recent game, correct me if I'm wrong, was Wolfenstein.
You said it right. Yes, good job.
Wolfenstein Youngblood.
I was like, girl, get it right. Get it right. Get it right. We just talked about this. You can do it, girl.
The issue isn't that I don't know how to say it. It's that I know I tend to say it wrong, and then I second guess which is the right one. Anyway, you're one of the main voices, along with our other friend, Valerie Rose Lohman, who we interviewed, like, right at the beginning of this podcast's existence.
That's true. I love Valerie so much. Yes, we played Sisters. That's how we met, was in Sweden, where we filmed all the mocap for it. But yes, that is, as far as the projects that are out that I can talk about, that's the hardest part about being an actor, and I'm sure you've had other actors talk about this, is the NDAs. The NDAs are so difficult, the non-disclosure agreements, because you work on something so cool and all you want to do is tell your friends and it's like, no, you can't or you'll be sued and we'll never work again. But yes, Wolfenstein Youngblood was amazing to work on, and it was the first time they ever had a game in that franchise where there were two female leads, which was really cool. And like, as a Jewish woman myself, playing a really strong Jewish woman was just like on top of it, extra cool. So it was a blast. We filmed the mocap in Sweden for that, and then
that's so cool.
It was literally a dream job. Like I still can't even wrap my mind around it being that it was real. Like I think of the memories, I'm like, did that really happen? Yeah, it did. That's so cool. But it was, yeah, it was my first time really being a character that you can play as, also because it's co-op, so you could either choose to play as my character Soph or Valerie's as Jess. But it was a dream.
So how long were you, like, how many years did you have to keep that quiet?
Shockingly, that one was fast. So Wolfenstein Youngblood, as far as I understand, is kind of an interim game between Wolfenstein 2 and 3, I believe. Mm. They had another game years back that was called New Blood, or The New Blood, which was kind of like between 1 and 2. So it was a shorter game. So because of that, it was less of a long time between filming and when it finally was released. It was only about a year, which was really fast for games. The first game I did that was mocap, Dead Rising 3, that was like 2.5 years I had to wait, and it was so hard because even when the trailers came out,
that's a long time.
Yeah, it was a big game. It was a long game, so it took a while for them to do everything. And even filming, like with Wolfenstein Youngblood, because it was shorter, we were only in Sweden filming mocap for about 2 weeks, and then with Dead Rising 3, it was like 2+ months. So.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and some games, I mean, I know that they film for years, basically. I have a friend working on a game right now that she's been working on since, I think, the end of 2018, and it's still not out yet, which is wild.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is wild.
Yeah.
I'll go, ah! So, obviously, I would say Wolfenstein Youngblood was, like, your favorite game to work on, but, like, what was another favorite game of yours?
For sure, Dead Rising 3, just because that's what got me really into voiceover, too, which I don't...
Oh!
Yeah. So I started acting when I was a little kid on camera, and I had booked a couple, like, radio and commercial TV voiceover roles, like a lot of the Lucky Charms or the Silly Rabbit Tricks for Kids stuff when I was little, but I didn't... My dumb 10-year-old brain didn't wrap around the idea of, like, this is a career. It was more like, no, on camera's the career, and this is a side job, which was just so wrong. And I didn't really pursue voiceover. Again, I kind of did the looping stuff as a kid too, but that same mindset. And then I ended up auditioning for Dead Rising 3 through my on-camera agents. And when I booked that and experienced that, I was like, what the heck have I been doing? Like, this, I love mocap and I love voiceover. Like, this is what I want to do. But it still took years before I was able to get voiceover rep because it's just, it's a tough world to break into. So it was only in like, God, I think it's been about 5 years now that I've signed with my voiceover agency. And then even within those 5 years, it's only been about 2 years since I really have moved all of my focus into voiceover and mocap. I'm kind of taking a little break from on camera right now, just because I haven't since I was five. And I was like, it's time. It's time to, to just change things up. And I was having more fun doing voiceover when I decided to do that. And I'm still having a blast, and I love my job more than anything, and it's all I talk about, so.
No, that's awesome. Like, follow your passion. Yeah. And I just also wanted to say, I can confirm how excited Shelby got when she was allowed to talk about Wolfenstein Youngblood, because I was at QuakeCon with her when the game was finally came out, and she could finally talk about it, and she stopped every, like, between 12 and like 20 year old wearing any Wolfenstein merchandise and was like, did you like the game? I'm one of the sisters.
I did do that. I will not deny. But it's so hard.
It was adorable.
It's so, first of all, I was so glad everybody said yes, because I would have been so sad if someone was like, no, this game's terrible. I'd be like, oh, whoops, not involved. But yeah, no, it was just so exciting. It was one of those, again, it was so hard because the NDA, like the trailers were out, my voice was in it, but I couldn't say it was me. I had a couple friends and
well,
my brother realized
it was
me. Well,
your voice
was
in it, but you were doing an accent, so I don't think it would have been super easy to recognize.
Yeah, it was, yeah.
It was stylized.
A bit deeper. Yeah, I had like a deeper voice like this and not exactly how I talk, but my brother figured it out. My brother heard it and was like, I know this is you.
Of course.
And I was like, but no, so that's why when I was at QuakeCon, there was still the first day that I was there where I couldn't say still. And so people were like, why are you at a Bethesda gaming convention right now? And I'm like, well, I don't know, just for fun, playing a game on Twitch, I guess, for
just
charity.
Just for fun. Just and then, for funsies.
Yeah, when I was able to, yep, I definitely stopped a lot of people and it was really fun.
I'm so glad I got to witness that. I really am.
Dude, that was such a fun time. I had a blast.
It really was. You wouldn't have thought that, like, you'd have so much fun in Gaylord, Texas.
The hotel that the convention's at is, like, it's like its own world inside.
Yeah.
There's a whole, like, atrium when you walk in with waterfalls, and there's, like, what, five restaurants all in this one hotel, and then the convention is attached to it. Like, it was crazy.
Yeah. Because I think it's in the middle of nowhere, so it's got to have
everything
a lot. It's got to have a lot.
The attraction is that hotel.
Yeah, pretty much.
Basically. But so, like, at that time, you were, and I saw you hopped on Twitch again recently.
Yay!
Yes. You started streaming, you've taken a break, you might be back, but you are in the Twitch world somewhat. So you do game, which is something we ask a lot of our guests, like, are you actually a gamer? Like, what's your favorite kind of franchise?
Yeah. Yeah. I love gaming. I have since I was younger. I'm not great at it. There's certain games I'm really good at, but like my favorite franchise is Kingdom Hearts for sure. Kingdom Hearts, and well, I mean, also I'm a huge Nintendo fan, so Pokemon and Mario are what got me into gaming when I was a kid.
Yeah.
But I still love them. But Kingdom Hearts was the first game that I didn't even play the first time. I watched my brother play it, and then I was like, what is this game? It ticks all my boxes. It's like cool fantasy adventure and then Disney, which I'm a huge Disney nerd, so it was perfect.
Okay. Starter Pokemon.
That's so hard. I kind of went based on the games that I would play. So on blue, I started with Squirtle. But then when I played red, I started with Charmander. I mean, I feel like Pikachu is probably my favorite out of all four of them. But I did have a giant stuffed Bulbasaur. So all of them.
All of them.
That's
sounds
a terrible
like
answer.
All of them.
But
yeah.
All of them.
literally
all of them.
Speaking of Disney.
Yes.
You're Princess Leia.
I do voice Princess Leia on Star Wars Forces of Destiny,
so
and
cool.
It's a dream also. I say that about so many things, but it's crazy. Like you were saying, like when you get to do what you love for a living, like you live your passion and follow your passion, it doesn't feel like work. So yeah, that's like, that blows my mind that I can even say that. But yes, I do voice Princess Leia.
How many, you might not know this, how many people like have been Princess Leia. Like, because there's other Star Wars cartoons, right? But she might not be in them. I'm not a big Star Wars person. So
how could you?
I'm so sorry.
Wow.
I'm
so sorry. No,
we
kidding.
Are kind of both bad nerds in that respect, where we're not crazy about Star Wars. But
what is your big nerd draw? Is it video games specifically, or is there a franchise? Well, I know Harry Potter, obviously, for day, but
which hurts right now. I might need to switch to Star Wars. I mean, I don't know.
I really enjoyed Harry Potter. That got me into fantasy in a big way. I read all the books.
Lord of the Rings?
Same.
Huh?
Are you Lord of the Rings fans?
Yes.
Yes.
I read them at a really early age and, like, enjoyed them.
Oh, yes. Wow. You're like, yes.
Super into elves, super into fairies, super into fantasy, super into mythology. So.
Yeah. I was a big fan of the Redwall series when I was really little, which is,
I know that one.
It's, like, fantasy, like, mice and, like, rodents. It's like a Game of Thrones world, but, like, for kids and with creatures.
That's adorable. So cute.
Yeah, it was really marketed to boys when we were young, but I don't know how I got into it, and I read almost all of them. So I've always been into, like, high fantasy adventure kind of stuff. Absolutely.
Same. The book series that got me into it when I was younger, where I legitimately thought I was a witch with magical powers, and I would have friends come over, and we weren't allowed to use real candles, so we'd have, like, electric candles and a salt circle. But there were two series. One was called the Sweep series, which I don't know if you ever read those. But I'd have to reread them to even remember the main plot. But I know it followed a witch, and I believe her name was Morgan. And I know that there was a lot of drama and love and a triangle of love and whatever before Twilight times. And I was so hooked. And then the other one was called Avalon Web of Magic, which...
That one I think I've heard of.
They had really colorful book covers, if you remember. Mm-hmm. It was like rainbow book covers, and it was these girls that found these magic stones, and each one gave them a different power, and one could talk to animals, and one could whatever. So again, my friends and I would get little stones and be like concentrating on moving our blinds, and we'd be like, oh, that one moved! Aww. Like, I did it with a stone!
That's amazing. I love that. That's so good. I don't think I got... I was very into like any... spin on the Cinderella story, like Ella Enchanted, just Ella, like anything like that. I was like, give it to me. So like there's some magic in there too, but nerds, we're all nerds, is what I'm learning here, and we all want to move our blinds with our magical stones,
obviously. Basically. Isn't that what everybody wants? Mm-hmm.
that's amazing. I don't even... Princess Leia, video games, American Horror Story, like, everything is just so iconic. Like, I don't know what to do with this all. What's your dream for, like, animation? Like, is there a series or a franchise or something you would love to be a part of?
Oh, there are so many. And unfortunately, a lot of the ones that I love so much are done now, but that just means I'd love to work with those creators on something else in the future. But
absolutely.
Avatar The Last Airbender, obviously.
Yes!
Genius, the perfect show. It's incredible. Also, She-Ra and the Princesses of Power, which you knew I was going to say.
Yes, I did.
Talking about voices, I heard you're entrapped on your stream, and I loved it.
Yes, you are, not only is your voice great, you're really good at, like, not imitating, what's the word?
Voice matching?
Well,
impressions, but,
like,
yeah.
Impressions, that's the word I was thinking of. Voice matching would be the, like, technical term.
When I'm doing it for work, I call it voice matching. When I'm doing it for fun, it's impressions.
Yeah, you blow my mind all the time with all of the ones I see you post on TikTok or Instagram or anything. What are some of your favorite characters to do impressions of?
Definitely Azula from Avatar The Last Airbender. I love doing the Harry Potter characters. Again, weird times, but still, I do love the characters. She-Ra was fun but hard. That one was super hard because something I love about Avatar and She-Ra is it's such naturalistic performances, even though it's these crazy fantasy worlds. So it is always a little bit harder when someone doesn't have, like, a specific voice where it's more just talking, like you or I. Entrapta has a very specific voice. Azula has a very specific voice. So those are really fun to do. I also love doing, like, Timmy Turner and Powerpuff Girls and all the old super cartoony characters, too. That's really fun.
Yeah. So did you... Is this just a natural talent? Have you trained in, like, some sort of impression class? I don't know if that exists.
No, you know, it's funny. I haven't, but, like, looking back, I did by myself without realizing that's what I was doing. Because as a kid, I used to take my little digital camera and I would film my computer screen because I didn't know how to screen capture. And I would do, like, scenes from Disney movies. Like, I remember specifically Lilo and Stitch. I love doing a Lilo impression. And Aladdin. And I would just, like, mute when they would talk. And I would, like, while filming, try to sound as close to them and to make it match their lips, not knowing that would kind of be my job one day. So in a way, yes, I trained, but not really. Like, it was kind of just something I realized I could do, and thankfully has become a job, which is cool and unexpected.
It's like you were making TikToks before TikTok was even a thought in someone's head.
She was training basically. I feel right? I feel like Shelby is an example of someone who's like, I know what I want to do, and then they do it, and because they're so, like, having such a great time and just focused on it, even though it sounds crazy, like making cartoon voices sounds like wild and crazy, but, like, it's a job. Everything is a job, if you know. And totally. That's just so inspiring, and I hope every single one of you quit your jobs now and become the cartoon that you always wanted to be, or whatever that is for you.
No, it's like, what's that saying? Luck is just hard work and opportunity meeting in the middle or something like that. So it is, I guess, in a way, without realizing I was already doing some work, then the opportunity happened. And because I'd already had done some of the work, that becomes luck then in a way. Which is cool. I still believe in real luck.
So then, because with the pandemic and everything, you've been really lucky in that you're still working all the time. I see it. You've converted a closet. Like, you're going. You're doing things.
Yeah, it was really important. So I already had a setup, but it definitely wasn't broadcast quality. I talk for a living. It definitely wasn't broadcast quality at the beginning of the pandemic. So I upgraded my microphone. But I did have to learn how to become I call it engineer light, because I'm not really an engineer, but I did have to learn quite a bit about different software programs, like what I'm recording on right now, Logic. I didn't know how to use it before this, or how to adjust the gain on the microphone and how to change just all this random stuff. Learn Source Connect, which is a program we use when the studio directly connects to us and then they can record us on their end, which is always great. So it was a huge learning curve at the beginning. And I do feel, I'm so glad I did it, though, because it is 100% paid off. Like, having a home set up now, you basically need one if you want to be working in voiceover. But it also, I feel so lucky that VO is able to be recorded remotely, because I have so many on-camera actor friends that, unfortunately, throughout all this haven't. I mean, now things are starting back up, and I'm glad for them as long as it's safe. But it's just, it's been rough.
So my friend Will, he's on Young and the Restless. And I've seen him 4 times, and the last time I saw him, his nose was bleeding, because they test you several times a day, and it's very invasive and very painful. And he's just like, I'm thankful to have a job, but dang, this sucks, you know? And I'm like, oh my God.
That's crazy. I did the test once, the nose one. He's mouth on set. Swabs now he's in,
you know, so.
Right. But it hurts is what I was going to say. Like, when I got that test, my friend, I feel so bad because she asked me the other day and I was like, oh no, it's not that bad. You'll be fine. It's bad. It hurts. It's worth doing. I definitely recommend, if you feel like you've been exposed, go get tested. Even if it is the nose one, it doesn't last like the pain for that long, but
it's surprising.
It for sure. Yeah. Yeah. It tickled my brain. That's wild. But the things that we do, I mean, life has to go on in some capacity. I still think if you don't need to be out, don't be out. And if you are out, wear a mask. But, like, for people when they need to go to work, totally understand that. But I think it's as sucky as it is that it gave him a nosebleed. I think it's awesome they're being that safe about it.
Yeah. I mean, it's serious because especially on sets, there's so many people working long days. It compromises your immune system. And people are in close quarters and talking over one another. And it's just like any job, really, but especially like team sports, like where you're on a production or like where you're all creating one project and working together and crossing departments.
Spit.
No, and maybe he's on a soap opera, so maybe he's making out all day. Listen, like, I don't know.
Well, did you actually see what they're doing on a lot of the soap operas right now, which is great.
No, what are they doing?
So I used to be on a soap opera, and the thought of doing this cracks me up.
Yeah, you did.
They
did our lives.
Yes, but they are either, I don't know if it's all the soaps, but the video I saw, they're either having the kissing scenes be between the actor and a mannequin.
Stop
So
it.
They'll cut, yeah, they will cut from, like, the two actors close together to behind the mannequin's head, or they've also hired some actors' partners to come in and stand in for the kissing.
Oh, that's cool.
So that way, that. You're just kissing your husband or wife or whomever. Yeah.
All right.
It works. It's really, I would have never thought of that, but it's
Tony,
it's really smart.
To work Days of Our Lives. And then okay. He legally has to bring you in to kiss you. So, I mean, this is perfect. Yep. Lock it in now.
You get paid to kiss.
I mean, he's got a better soap look than me, I think.
Exactly.
So go for it.
What is there's good. No soap look.
There's a I think know. There's a look that people expect soap operas to look like, but there I don't think that there's a look anymore.
I did not fit that because, dude, soap fans, the ones that understand it's a soap opera are incredible. The ones that think it is real life are not. And I got so much hate mail because my character on that was also mean. I played a lot of mean characters on camera.
The nicest people play really good mean girls, and
it's
you're
so
a very
fun.
Nice human.
Thank you. I appreciate that. But it's so fun to be mean. But yeah, I'd get all these letters that were like, your head's too big to be on a soap opera. Your face is weird. You don't look like the people on the soap opera. And I'm like, can't do anything about that. This is my head.
Yes. That is the correct answer, Shelby Young. Yes.
Oh, at the time I was young and I for sure Aww. Cried. But now that I'm in my late 20s, I'm like,
I was hoping that like
cares?
You as a 12-year-old were like, man, screw this.
No, I wish. Honestly, like that's part of one of the reasons that I wanted to take a break from on camera is as many amazing things as there are about it, something that's a bit insidious that I feel like is getting better. But especially when I was a teen, was you had to fit in a certain size box and you had to be a certain look. But it really the weight stuff got to me because when I was younger, I was a size small and I was really thin. But my agent at the time didn't believe me that I was a size small and made me go shopping with her to like prove that I wouldn't fit into the size small clothing. And then when I did, she's like, well, you're flabby, so you need to work out. And it's something that really upset me because I was a teenager and it's something that stuck with me and just like soured my thoughts with on-camera stuff a bit. And so it's really nice with voiceover with that none of this, you can't see me, but I'm moving hands around my face to say none of this matters. But it's crazy. But like I said, I think things are on the upswing, especially with like body positivity and stuff being at the forefront of so many conversations. But it just sucked back in the day.
Yeah, it would suck. Suck any time to like be told something like that.
Yeah.
So, boo on her.
I know.
Rude.
I know.
A more positive,
yes.
maybe, I think, discussion about your head that just really random, but that brought up in my mind is how many times you have recently compared yourself to Balloony, which is not even a character I'm aware of. But can you explain this?
Yourself.
Balloony is a character on Phineas and Ferb that is a balloon. It's a balloon head. It's just a head that's a balloon. And he's got wide set eyes like I do. And I guess bigger, like, but his lips are more like spread across his face. I mean, his face, he's also bald. But it happened because on TikTok, a teenager commented that I looked like Balloony. And I thought it was so funny that I was like, I need to make a video doing this. And I made a video that some people took seriously. And they were like, no, don't let it hurt your feelings. Because then I'm like,
girl, I'm good.
This is upsetting. But no, I was like, it's super funny. And so since then, I have made a couple more just because, like, if I go really close to my phone and pull my hair back, I can kind of see it in like a very funny way. So it works. It's funny.
That's amazing.
The creator of Phineas and Ferb made like he stitched together my video doing a where I pulled my hair back and then it changes to Balloony. And his character in the show, Dr. Doofenshmirtz, always goes, I don't want to blow my mic up, but he's like, Balloony! And he did a video.
That's amazing.
Doing that. I was like, this is awesome.
That's awesome.
That was just for fun, totally. But I am such, like, an advocate for, especially if you're an actor or a voice actor, even though it becomes, like, extra work sometimes, I think putting yourself out there on social media and showing your personality aside from just, like, oh, I'm a person that auditions is super important. And even if it is just for fun, it can't hurt in any way. Unless, I mean, your personality is really bad and you're saying terrible things online, then maybe don't do it.
If your personality is really bad, just post pictures of yourself on Instagram. You'll be fine.
If you're a bully, maybe don't comment. But other than that, comment away.
Would you have any advice for a young actress trying to get into acting and voice acting and just having a hard time because they're not, like, getting anywhere or they feel inadequate in some way? Do you have any tips for that, or, like, your younger self? Because I feel like you've been through, like, a lot that most people don't experience until they're in their 20s with their career.
Yeah, there's a lot of rejection. So that is something that the biggest thing, and it's hard, but you get used to it after a while, but it's just you need to not take anything personally.
How do you do that?
The reason you, right? I've come to the conclusion that if it is my role, I am going to book it.
Oh.
But if it's not my role, I'm not going to book it, and it was never going to be my role, and I can't sit there and cry over something that was never going to be mine anyway.
Love.
Not to say I'm not trying my hardest, because I'm hoping every role is going to be my role, but when it turns out it's not, it's like, okay, well, it was so-and-so's time. Like, this was their role. It was meant for them. That's kind of my thought process now. It's kind of the same with, like, when I see friends succeeding. I never want to be the person that's ever jealous of a friend. And for sure I had times when I was a teenager where I would get jealous. That's just natural. But especially, again, as you get older, you just stop caring, I feel like, about a lot of things. Because it's just not as important. Now it's become a thing. Totally.
It's also, like, a lot easier to be happy for your friends. And it feels better to be happy for your friends than it does to be jealous about it.
Totally. It's, like, for me now, because I remember, again, like, as a teenager, sometimes I'd be like, oh, I can't believe so-and-so booked it, and now I'm gonna have to hear all about it, and I wanted it so bad, blah blah blah. But now I think, wow, someone that I loved got to book this thing that I'm sure they're just as excited about, and instead of a stranger who I don't know that I would still be happy for, like, this is someone I actually care about, and they did it. Like, this is so cool. So advice for sure is, don't take anything personally, which, again, is easier said than done, but just know it's not a knock on your talent if you don't book something. It's not a knock on your abilities. It's just you weren't the right person for the role at that time, and it's not something you need to change unless you get feedback of, like, hey, they need to work on X, Y, and Z. Like, you should always be working on your craft, but it's not that you did something that made it so that you weren't right for the role. It just, you weren't the one that they wanted for this specific role, but you'll be right for another one. But more advice is to take classes, stay in classes, even when you're working. Like, I still take classes. Super important. Voiceover specific classes are amazing, but if you're just starting out, I recommend, even before getting into voiceover classes, taking just basic scene study acting classes.
Yep, absolutely.
Improv is really important, especially if you want to work in animation. Cold reading is probably the most important class, because with video game sessions, a lot of the times you don't know what you're going to be saying until you get in the booth. And
certainly not.
Yep, all of a sudden you're this warrior, and then you're also going to be a fairy, and you're also a little boy, and you just have to be prepared to think on your feet, which, again, the improv comes in, and the cold reading to just take words off the page and
cold
be
reading.
Able to make
same,
them work.
I do too.
Same.
Yeah.
It's such a challenge, but it's really fun.
I went to AMAW, or for those not in the acting world, Anthony Mindel's actor workshop.
Yes, I used to take classes with him too.
Once he does a really good job of, like, two things. One, dealing with your feelings, and two, teaching you to cold read. And after I learned how to cold read from their, like, little 6-week boot camp intro, I was like, oh, this is okay. All right. Like something clicked for me where I was just like, all I need to do is not freak out so much. Get the words, take my time, spit them out. Get the words, take my time, spit them out. You don't need to be looking down there. You got it, girl. And it just, like, took the muscle memory of doing it. And then I was just like, man, I love this. Can every audition just be cold reads?
Well, I was going to say cold reading is such a skill, even though it becomes almost second nature once you've been doing it for a while. But I 100% credit. There's a movie I did when I was younger, a teen movie called Wild Child. And I play this really mean girl again. Wow.
I'm seeing a theme.
Right? But I fully attribute my booking it to the fact that my agents messed up and didn't give me the new scene. There was two scenes I already had memorized, and then I got there, and they're like, we love it. All right, let's move on to scene three. And I'm like, what is there? What's scene three? And they're like, oh, no, did you not get it? It was revised. Here, take this. Go out in the waiting room. And we're going to bring someone else in, and then we'll bring you back. And I'm like, great. And if I wasn't able to cold read, it would have been a terrible situation, but I was able to go in. I already kind of had the basics of the scene memorized. So like you said, Amber, I wasn't like just in the page the whole time. And they were like, you just got these and you already did it. And I'm like, yes, I did
the work. Yay. I did the work really quickly.
Feel like, right? And I feel like that for sure helped, where that's part of the reason I booked that role, which so I love cold reading.
Yeah, I love it because I don't have enough time to get in my head about anything. You just have to make choices and do things. And then, you know, and then if I have enough time with it, with memorizing and stuff, then it's like, oh, but should I do it that way? Should I maybe do it this way? And then you second guess it. Because you're like, you're also being the director, which isn't actually the job you're going in for. You're going in to be the actor. But for an audition, you have to direct yourself. So,
self-directing is probably the hardest part of any audition. With voiceover, especially, sorry if you hear knocking. I think my neighbor is hanging something up. But with voiceover, especially, it's really rare that you have in-person voiceover auditions. Even throughout quarantine, I've had a couple that have been over Zoom, but for the most part, I'm just recording myself and you send it off into the ether. And then either you get a callback or you book it or you hear absolutely nothing, because there's not enough time to write to every actor that didn't book it that they didn't book it. But it is something where, and something I found that I feel like has worked for me, is I, instead of, like, I'll still read the casting specs and see what the breakdown is and what casting is looking for, but instead of what I used to do, which was, like, really try to nail exactly what is written there, exactly what they want, I will take that, but I will also interpret it of, like, what's going to make me laugh? Like, yeah, maybe she's a bookworm, but maybe not every line is going to be said like a super bookworm, and she's going to say something else and be a little weird on this line because it came out weird and I laughed after I did it, so I'm going to send it. And then in my mind, it's like, so that's a Shelbyism, just like you would have a Dayism or an Amberism, and nobody else is going to do that, and they're going to hear that and be like, wow, that's exactly what we didn't know we wanted. That's great. Or they're going to hear it and be like, nah, next. But there's no way to know. So that's kind of saved my sanity a little bit, because I used to spend hours in my booth when I first started voice acting, just like trying to finesse and kind of what you were saying, like get it perfect and whatever. And now it is so different, which has been a lifesaver mentally.
Yeah, you just bring yourself to the role, which is like same thing you can do with on camera acting and everything. It's like that's usually when the performances are best, when people bring themselves to the roles, and then it gets its own life and it's unique to you.
Yeah.
Snaps for supportive partners that can do the things you can.
Right.
I mean, Tony makes my Twitch stuff all the time. He makes my Twitch videos. I'm like, I don't know, I want this, and he makes it happen.
Speaking of,
I feel you on that.
Your Little Mermaid thing. What is that for? When you get raided, or is it for?
It's a raid video.
Incredible. Like that.
Amber filmed it.
You filmed it. It's so good.
She was my director.
I'm happy to do it for you too, if you want to do a little raid video. I'm always like trying to make little fun videos. I haven't been doing as much like this past year because I got overwhelmed with like YouTube last year. But I was really inspired actually by Tony.
He's got some great
stuff.
He has
fantastic videos. And I'm like,
you guys are on another level. It's amazing.
It's awesome. And the stuff that you can make for transitions and the be right back screen and everything is really cool. But I'm really proud of Day's Merm Raid video.
That's genius.
That's what happened. I was still working at the bar and it was a really slow night and I was bored out of my mind and my head was like, Merm Raid. Oh my god. And I like printed out a blank piece of receipt paper and started rewriting the lyrics. And then I put it in my pocket and like I went home and I like made a storyboard.
Genius.
And then I was like, Amber, make this happen, please. And then we filmed it and then I gave Tony the clips and said, Tony, make this happen, please.
And he added something genius. I didn't think would work at all. Like when we took that little like green screen footage of you dancing, I was like, we probably will use like 1 second of this. And he like made it a whole dancing like rave at the end. And I was like, oh, that's so good. I didn't even think of that. Why didn't I think of that?
Oh my god. Yeah, I was shocked I was even able to like get my Twitch working, because it had been It had been a full year since I streamed, and I was being just stubborn, and I was like, I'm not going to Google how to do this. I need to remember. But I did it. The sound worked. The video worked. I was like, all right. Some of my alert sounds weren't working, but
What did you play again? What were you
playing? I was just playing Super Mario 64 because now they just came out with it for the Switch. But I don't know what my plan is with Twitch. What I've been saying and what I probably will do, oh, hello, is, sorry, a cat just appeared, is that I want to, the next time I have games that come out, I'll probably use it to, like, play my games.
Yeah.
Which is...
That's how I started.
Yeah. So. Yeah. I don't know. I love the community on there, but I just got stressed out playing on there as often as I was because I'm not great at games. And I know that's not what you need to be. But for me personally, I was like, I'm getting so frustrated getting stuck on the same level and then having like 40 people watching
this
over and over and over again.
Yeah, that's a very understandable feeling to have about it all. Yeah, I think that's a great idea. And I keep seeing more and more voice actors turning to Twitch, especially right now. So it's like lots of people are turning to Twitch because it's something you can do at home. I got raided the other day by the voice actor of Jonah from Tomb Raider.
Oh, no way.
And I freaked out. I was like, I love Jonah. You. I love Tomb Raider.
That's so cool.
I know. Shannon Woodward, who's Dina, is streaming.
She's streaming now?
She's streaming.
That's awesome.
She was streaming Life is Strange. I only know because when they start playing Life is Strange, someone in my community is bound to find out. Right. And then they're like, guess who's playing Life is Strange now? and then I'm like, all right, let's go check out episode 2 and see if they notice me in chat.
That's awesome. So do you feel like more people save your character or do not save your character?
Let's see. Shannon Woodward saved me.
Great. I knew I liked her.
She was very nice. Honestly, I feel like most people save me unless I know them personally.
And then they let you die.
Or on accident.
Yeah.
I tried really hard. I tried so hard.
It's true. I was there. I was sitting next to her.
I thought I for sure had it. I did everything right until the last, like, question. I guess there's 3 questions you can mess up, and I messed up the last question, and I'm still mad about it because it was the wrong Bible verse. If you go in the order of the Bible, I know that Bible verse. Actually, I know where the New Testament is and the Old Testament is, and those Fritch devs put them in the wrong order, and it's all the game's fault, and it's not my fault. I tried to save Kate Marsh.
It's okay, I forgive you.
You okay? You okay?
So angry about that.
But no, you know what I will say really fast? I was upset too because Ella and I, it was when we were streaming together, we did save Kate. And then we started playing because we would switch off playing at her place or playing at my place. And then we started the chapter after at my place where we hadn't played through that yet. And the default was that we didn't save Kate. And we're like, what the heck? I don't know if it's random or something, but we were so pissed
that's
off.
Weird.
And all of our followers were too. They were like, you let Day die. And we're like, no, if you were here last stream, we saved her.
Oh, that's upsetting. I don't know what that's about. I will say that Tony did let me
on purpose. So, sounds about right for Tony.
Because Tony was also playing the game and role-playing.
Oh, okay, so he was like, jump.
At the same time. Yeah, he was like, well, Mr. Jefferson wouldn't let Kate live.
Oh.
And I was like, God, I hate you.
Mr. Jefferson.
Not really. I don't hate him. But it was a thing. It was a thing. But yeah, most people I watch play have saved Kate, or they will let the chat backseat them into saving Kate.
Nice.
Because no one wants it to happen.
Yeah, it's so sad. You did
Thank
such a good
you
job.
All. Thank you so much. I was thinking about it earlier when you were saying, like, sometimes you need to be good at cold reads because that you just walk in and you've never seen the script before. And I've said it before, but, like, I walked into there and it was like 10 a.m. and Phil Bach was like, okay, cool, so you're jumping off a building today. And I was like, I'm sorry, what? I'm sorry, what? Just like how I wasn't expecting when I went in my first day for them to be like, yeah, you're Kate, but you're also 2 other characters. And I was like, what?
Yep.
I don't have other voices prepared. I don't know what I'm doing.
I can picture you that going on in your head and then Day actually politely being like, okay. And then just in your head, like, internally screaming.
Oh,
sweating.
That
just like
That happens all the time, though, in sessions where you have to just, you got to be a team player and put on a brave face and say, yep. But inside your head, you're like, what the hell am I about to do? What noise is about to come out of my mouth? I don't know.
I honestly have to credit Phil, the director, because he saved my ass. Like, he created them. He was just like, because he had all the info, you know, you don't have any info. Mm-hmm. So he was like, okay, Alyssa, she's a goth girl. She's got purple hair. And, like, he had me try certain things. Like, he helped me find the voice.
Which
is
awesome.
He wasn't expecting me to just have, because I didn't even have pictures, you know? Like, he wasn't just expecting me to come up with something, so.
Oh, you didn't even have pictures?
We'll get him on the podcast.
That makes it even harder.
That's hard.
I had no idea what they looked like till the game came out.
Wow.
I didn't know what any of them looked like.
That, you know? But that's the mark of, like, a good director is when it's so collaborative like that.
Oh, he's so good.
Yeah.
Yeah. We have to get him on the podcast sometime, because he's. Everyone I know who's worked with him is like, he's amazing.
Yeah.
He's, and then I had never looked at his IMDb, and it's like, oh, Skyrim, Fallout, this, that. I was like, what?
Yeah, man.
That's awesome. I have to ask, so you guys are also playing Among Us, I'm assuming?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. It's so bad how obsessed I've become in the past couple of days. I've only played with strangers online.
Oh my god.
Yeah, I haven't played with friends yet. I don't even know what that'll be like. Yeah, I play on my phone. I have to find that out because I literally my first game, they instantly were like, oh, this one's the imposter because they ran off this way and stood on a vent. And I was like, what are they talking about? Which, Amber, you won't get that yet. But then now, 2 days later, I'm like, he vented. It was purple. Purple vent. Like, I instantly, like, know the
I
lingo.
Know
and
the
I feel
lingo.
Like I'm probably.
It's a pretty simple game. Like, once you've played it two or three times,
it's
you've got
werewolf
it.
In space. Like, it is so cool.
Yes.
Except, I saw your tweet and how you just tweeted something about, like, I love being the imposter.
Yes.
Okay, I hate
that's what
being
I was gonna
imposter.
Ask you. You do?
Oh my god, I have so much anxiety because the map is so confusing to me, so I don't know how to properly lie about what I was doing. And honestly, okay, this is me being like type A or a Ravenclaw. Like, I just want to do my tasks, all right? Like, if I'm in the middle of a task and someone is like, I found a dead body, I'm like, man, I was almost
she's,
done with that.
I'm the same
like,
with
so,
the task.
Screw
she's
you.
So bad at lying. She's. So bad.
I'm not good.
I'm good at it in games, but in life, I mean, for work, technically, aren't we all professional
Thank
liars?
You.
But no, but in real life, I'm the worst liar ever. People instantly know. But when it comes to games, I get so competitive that I'm like, no, this is my truth. I am not lying. This is what I
too.
Am truly
Completely.
Doing. Like, but. For the, no, Olympia, don't chew that cord. For the basics of it, Amber, so you're not fully lost, there's a group of, it could be 10 people in space, and one person finds out they're the imposter, and they're going around trying to kill and sabotage
the spaceship.
Do they know
that they're top of the game? Okay.
You find out at the top whether you're a crewmate or an imposter, but nobody else knows who anybody else is. And then you have little chats where when you find a dead body or if someone saw something, they can call an emergency meeting, and you all discuss
who it is. Is it a six-player game? Or does the number not?
It's up to
up
10.
To 10. So it can be
up
like 4 players.
Mm-hmm.
Or do they fill the room
definitely
with
more
like people?
Fun. It's more fun the more players. Because I've played a couple games where it's only been like 6 people. But it just ends so fast. Because it's so easy if one person's going around killing them. And then there's only 4 people left. But it's super fun. But then if you're a crew member, you're just trying to fix the ship. Because there's all these issues with it. And whatever it is. But
that's my favorite part.
But the chat is so funny, especially because I don't know the people I've been playing with. I have no idea how old they are, where in the world they are, whatever. But it always is so funny when one person like is like, it's this person. And then you see the argument of like, no, it's not me, it's you. Or it's this one. Or it's constantly just the finger pointing. And that's where I feel like I do really well. Because I'll be like, no, what are you talking about? I was over here. I think it's sketchy that you're calling me. Why are you so like...
Redirect that energy right back
amazing.
At the innocent one.
Right?
That's right.
It is really fun. And I will say, I am very grateful that even as a ghost, you can still finish your tasks.
Yes. Yes. All about the tasks.
Amber looks disgusted right now. She's like, dang.
Let me get this right. You're going to die. You're going to lose and still try to work?
Yeah.
Yeah, because if all the tasks get finished before the imposter kills enough people, you can win.
Oh, okay, okay.
So everyone's trying to finish the task.
Which I'm like you, Day, because I have full-on been like the mom of the group in the chat being like, all right, all ghosts, keep doing your tasks so we can maybe win.
Get it just together. Like PTA mom organizing the dead
Let's
people.
Let's go, people.
I keep seeing the really funny like observation that like beginning of quarantine we all started out with Animal Crossing, like making cute islands and visiting each other, and now we're just all murdering each other in space. And I think it's so it's just so good.
I never thought of that, but that's so true.
It's so true.
Like, of course we are. Like, when we started this out, we all were so sad. We needed something cute that distracted us, but it's been so long. Now we're just ready to murder.
Right. Tired of being inside.
Get us a Yeah. So now we're just murdering each other in space. It's fine.
Totally fine. Totally fine.
And I heard that this game's actually been out for like 2 years. And,
what?
Yeah. I heard this game's been out for 2 years. Someone big on Twitch must have found it, played it. Now everyone's playing it. And they were actually scheduled to make a sequel to the game. But instead, they stopped production on the sequel and are making updates for
smart.
The current one.
Genius. Smart. Also, isn't it crazy how all it takes sometimes is, like, one person to post something online that they have a big enough following and boom. Like, that's wild.
And the whole world is doing it? Yeah. That's some crazy.
I hope that they gave whoever that streamer is, like, some sort of merch or something. A lifetime. They don't have to pay for any of the, like, add-ons.
Add-ons, right? I don't know.
One would hope.
Yeah. They have such cute little hats.
I know. I got a little robot that follows me around now, but it's really sad because so you can get little pets that follow you, but when you die, you move on as a ghost, but they just stay where you died, and it's so sad.
That's so sad.
I have to witness that.
I know. At least they don't like look sad. They're just sitting there. Good. But still I'm like, that's where I met my end.
Question. Can we like get for the end of this, just like you doing a few of like your favorite impressions?
Yeah,
or
of course.
Like
that, of course.
I'm trying to think of ones that I really enjoy when you do them. Do a really good or do your Lilo.
Okay. Hold on. I hope that I don't peek because it's loud. Let me lower this. Test. Hi. Okay. So he's like, Lilo, why are you all wet?
It's sandwich day. Every Thursday, I take Pudge the Fish a peanut butter sandwich. But today, we were all out of peanut butter. I had to go to the store. Shoot, now I forgot my lines. But today, we're all out of peanut butter. So I had to go to the store to get peanut butter, because all we have is stinking tuna. Why do you need this? Pudge controls the weather. I messed that up so bad, but you got the gist.
It was brilliant nonetheless.
Thank you.
Brilliant nonetheless. I also really like your Chucky Finster, I think.
Oh, yeah. What does he say?
But Tommy, I remember Spike's house being so big. But we have to something about the aliens. The aliens, Tommy.
I love it. Chucky's so hard to do. Chucky is such a hard voice to do.
He's really difficult.
He's
friend
really
AJ
difficult,
was
you guys.
Like,
seriously.
Thank
that's
you.
A hard voice to do. I'm shook.
Thank you. He's one I really practice because my friend AJ was like, I feel like you can do this. And I'm like, I don't know. Because I was doing, before TikTok, I was putting out impression videos like one a week I was just doing for fun. Or what did I do?
Yeah.
I did like one every day for a week. I did Rapunzel and Violet from The Incredibles. And then he was like, do Chucky. And I was like, that is a hard voice. Yeah. I don't think I could do it. And he's like, just try. And I tried a couple times and I wasn't really getting it. And then I don't know. There was something I heard that I was like, oh, maybe if I do that. And then it kind of clicked. And I was like, oh, that's how you do it.
That I have to say that some of the impressions you do, like, I would have never been able to do it, but then I see you do it, and for some reason, like you say, it clicks in my brain, and maybe just, like, watching your mouth move for whatever reason, and, like, I've practiced Chucky and Lilo because of you, not that I had ever been able to do it before, and I'm like, I'm using Shelby to get better things.
That's amazing. I love hearing that, but it is so true. There's totally times where, like, I'll need to voice match a character that maybe has already existed, but I will look at sometimes other people's performances to, like, not get the character from, but I'll look at maybe how they rounded their R on a certain word or did something, and I'm like, oh, that makes it click even more of how it sounds.
Yeah. Right now, all I've got is Entrapta, and I don't know why they'd ever need a voice match for her, but if they do,
Entrapta?
Do Entrapta. Yeah.
From She-Ra, you need to watch. Amber,
it's
watch
so
She-Ra.
Good.
It's never so grew up with She-Ra, but I will check it out. Oh, okay.
Neither did I. I have Neither never watched I. the original. You don't need to know anything about it. It's a totally different story, but it's just like, it's so empowering. And it is. Like, I it's so good. And I also really love, there's so much representation in it for the LGBTQ mm-hmm. community, but it's never like the really main focus, which I think is great because, you know, gay people in our lives are just people that happen to be gay. Like, they're not constantly, like, that's not the focus point always. And I feel like that's where media gets things, I don't want to say wrong, because it's still really important to have that too, to teach people that maybe live in a part of the world where they don't understand how people can just be open in themselves. As someone who recently came out as bi, I very much think about other things in life too. But thank you. But I really love the way that it's just like characters are introduced just like they would be if it's a straight couple, where it's like, this is my wife, and it's not a focus point. It's just like, cool, normal existing.
Yeah, here are my dads. Yeah. Like, whatever.
Totally. Not. It doesn't become a conversation about that. It's just, they're my dads.
It's just accepted, yeah. And it's beautiful.
I think it's so amazing. But then also the acting and the story and the plot and, like, the journey, it's just so good.
Oh, now I want to watch it. Where really is it? It's on Netflix?
Netflix. You've got to watch it.
Yeah. And then you'll know
And
who
then I will call you and be like, yes. You're entrapped a voice.
But you got to do it now. Yes. Anyway.
Oh, wow! Look at all this! First one's tick!
It's so good! Amber's like, I don't know yet, but it's great.
It's not her voice, so I'm entertained.
I accidentally did it. I was, like, streaming and, like, said something stupid and was like, that sounded like Entrapta. And then I just, like, kept doing it. And there was, like, one person in chat who was like, yes, it does! And I was like, I'm gonna keep doing it!
Yes! I'm so happy.
Oh, I love it.
Oh my god. I was in a voiceover class on Sunday and we had to say a line three different ways and everyone was like guessing like who this person was and who they were talking to. And I did one. I was like, is it cheating to just do my Entrapta impression? And I did, and one woman was like, it really sounded like Entrapta. Yes! I was like, yes it did.
That's amazing. Oh, that's awesome. But see, for anybody listening, Day is in classes still, even though she's a working voice actress. I'm in classes still. Classes are very important.
Yeah, I've been piling them on the last few months.
That's
in quarantine.
Awesome.
And I'm excited. I'm just like, yeah, let's do it. More, more, more.
Right?
I love it.
It's so great because on top of learning, you're getting to actually act. Like, whether you're getting paid or not, that's what's so great about auditions or classes or whatever. It's like you're actually using that muscle.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. More practice.
Oh, yeah.
What is it? Not the practice makes perfect, but practice makes... There's, like, a revised version
of that. Is
there? Oh, well, whatever.
Practice do good.
Practice good.
That's my version.
Practice good.
Me, practice be good.
Practice be good.
Is there, yes, I love is there it. A particular thing you do to keep your voice healthy, Shelby?
I drink tea. I do some vocal warm-ups if I know it's going to be a strenuous day. I try not to whisper or scream unless it's for a role.
Why?
Just so that I'm saving my voice. Like, if it's the weekend or something or I'm at a concert, that's fair game if I know I'm not working the next day. But I have had where, like, I went to a friend's birthday thing at Disney and I knew I was recording the next day. So being quiet on the roller coasters was very difficult. But I was like, I'm not screaming at all today. So I'm on, like, Guardians dropping down. And I'm just like, but I also know, like, because I learned the hard way, I was always like, oh, dairy's fine. People don't know what they're talking about. And this was a long time ago, but I remember I drank something with milk in it before I had a session, and I was full on just like the whole time. So I avoid dairy. I avoid drinking alcohol the night before I have a session just because it dries your cords out. I try to stay hydrated. And yeah, I mean, there's all different vocal warm-ups you can do. I do some that are just off of YouTube. There's also one that I will not remember the name of, but you basically take, if you have like a little straw, like a almost like a coffee stirring straw, the smaller the little hole in the straw, the better. And you put it in your mouth and you kind of make like a BV sound, like with it in there. And it opens the back of your throat in a way that it wouldn't be able to do without this little small space.
Oh, cool.
So that, yeah, that's super helpful, especially if you're feeling like a sore throat. But yeah, I just kind of do the basics. I got a I don't use it as much as I should, but it's like a handheld humidifier that I've used a couple times, and I feel like Darth Vader when I wear it. But it worked great the few times I have used it. I'm just lazy and haven't bought new water for it.
Right.
Oh, yeah, that distilled
yeah,
water.
Yeah, it's like the special.
Got to go to the store for that.
Who's got the time? Then you got to put on a mask and be around other people. No thank you. Yeah.
No way to do it. No way to know.
Well, Shelby, thank you so much for being here with us today. And just so informative. So many cool things learning about the industry and what you've personally worked on and just tips in general. And just hanging out. It's been so fun. Is there anything you'd like to plug or tell people to look out for? What socials can they find you on?
Yeah, well, first of all, thank you guys for having me. This was a blast. I mean, it's always fun talking to you guys, but it literally thought we were just hanging out, but with headphones on. Yeah, for social media, check me out on for TikTok and Instagram, it's Shelby H. Young. And then for Twitter, it's Shelby_Young. And Twitch also, if I do go back on there at all, it's also Shelby H. Young. I wasn't able to get the H for Twitter. So sad about that.
Rude.
But yeah, and nothing really to plug. I mean, if you want to keep up with my work, check me out on those. And then the only other thing I'll say, I don't know when this comes out, but hi, I am Shelby Young, and you are listening to Gaming and Gabbing.
I love it so much.
Yay.
I feel like I want to get someone to like remix that into a song and just make that our intro.
Chances of that becoming a clip on our show, very high. Very high.
Amazing. Love it. I love it.